friends. Hello and welcome back. I'm Georgia Fraser. It's time for a Mojo Injection, episode 75. Yes, I'm croaky, right? It's been a busy week. It's been a fun week. It's getting cold. We're getting almost festive. I am torn, guys. You know, Christmas is about love and connection and all these amazing things. And I just feel a bit, when the shops go crazy, 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 like spend money. It's tricky. You know, I'm not wanting to be a bah humbug, but I just think it's important to remember what our values are. And the highest value we can have is love. And that's what Christmas is about. And that's what this podcast is here to do, to give you more space to practice self-compassion on yourself, to be inspired by the amazing guests, and to think about ways that you can attract more love into your life and more happiness, less of the kind of heavy energies like judgment and negativity. And in our world, it can constantly be, you know, these messages and things that get us down. It can be so easy to carry the heavy stuff, when what I want is for this podcast to boost you up and help you to feel lighter at the end. So thank you for being here. I'm going to keep the intro short this week because, yeah, I don't think it's that sexy, this croaky voice. But yeah, lots of exciting things coming up, guys. And it's been just a really good week of producing content and meeting people and giving talks and calls and spreading the good vibes whenever I can, and learning from people, learning from great people. So I was at a talk yesterday at Synergy, a gym that I really enjoy, and the guys have been really lovely and supportive of my blog there. And a guy called Ben Coomer, who's got a really well-known podcast. I think he's came up number one in the fitness industry, and he was talking all about, you know, lifestyle changes. But a lot of that ties in to the work that I do, is chat about mindset and giving yourself love. And that was, it was a nice reminder, and to hear of a fresh approach. And what I love about this episode is just the passion that comes across from Ash. So my guest, the lovely, I call her Ash, you can call her Ashley, the Explore More Mum. You may know her from her Instagram, a lovely Instagram, that Explore More Mum. She's an outdoor and online personal trainer and a content creator and blogger. She offers free copies of workouts in her bio as well, so one to check. And you can get to her at the hashtag WomanWhoExplore. So if you go and have a nosy, but I think you're going to love what Ash has to say. She's all about adventure, bringing in the sort of healthy, our passion there into sort of parenting and life outdoors and self-care. And I love her passion for being outdoors, and we're talking about arranging a wild swim. So I'd love you to, I'll put my details at the end of this too, but if you want to get involved in that, you can drop me a message, mommyjojoblog@gmail.com or @JojoFraserMojo. Do you want to do a wild swim? Do you want to just like get out of our comfort zone? Ash and I would love to do that with you, so get in touch and we'll get something arranged. Right, guys, sit back, relax, and enjoy your weekly Mojo Injection. All my love. Mwah. Okay, Ash, thank you for coming, my darling.
Hello.
Hello, it's lovely to have you here.
I'm really excited.
I like when we say excited, because nerves and excitement, I always say if I'm doing like a speaking gig or something out of my comfort zone, I'll be like, I'm so excited, even if I'm feeling like a bit nervous as well. I'm like, yeah, I'm telling my mind I'm really, really excited. Woohoo! And then you trick yourself. That's a good tip for you.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like the two are the same sometimes.
Yeah, same feelings. But yes. I always say that, because a lot of people will come on the podcast and they'll be like, a bit nervous about this. And I'm like, yeah, the first couple I recorded, I was like breaking it. I was like, oh, but really enjoying it. So I was like, this is exciting. But you do, it's a new thing. When someone said to me, you need to set up a podcast, I was just like, but what would I do? How would I start? What would I, you know? But just got to go with it, don't you?
Absolutely, 100%. You just got to go with your gut and just go for it, 100%. You're what I call like a go-getter.
I'll take
the same go-getter. Go for it.
Yes, we're the go-getters. Yes. But It's hard because we all have knocks, right? We all have issues. And we've spoken earlier about kind of our experiences and things that have shaped us. And we've both had things to deal with in the... Well, we all have things to deal with in the past. And it was really inspiring to hear how you've created something through a pain point where you've... Let's talk about self-esteem first, I guess. So you would say that you've struggled with it?
100%. You know, it's interesting looking at the facade of Instagram. You could probably look at my page and see it's very well put together, but that's not always the case with me on the day to day. Being a mum, setting up a business, working full time, having the house, having lots of things to do, trying to do my own fitness program, it's quite a lot. So having all that self-esteem, it's bubbling underneath the surface a lot, kind of questioning myself a lot.
Okay.
So what I've been doing the last, I'd say, 2 years at least, is surrounding myself with the right people who are then questioning about self-esteem and going, are you really that low about yourself? Are you sure you're really feeling like that? And then I'm realizing what they're seeing, and it's starting to change a lot now. So it's like a tipping point, I reckon, next year will be a bit more positive.
Great.
Yeah.
So when you say the right people,
yes,
what are the right people for you and why?
Oh, okay. So personal life, my partner, he's an incredible man, so supportive. We are like chalk and cheese, but we just completely work with each other. I'm a bit kind of party, let's go, and he's a bit more reserved and grounded. So we work, and obviously my son is an incredible human who pretty much is the person that keeps me going all the time. But then in talking about from the business perspective, a lady called Nikki Hutchinson, she really was the pinpoint in my business where she just like really questioned or got me to ask the questions about, where's this business going? What are you trying to achieve with it? And basically, what's your USP? And so we went through that. It took a couple of months to get there. She got me there. And I feel like I'm at the point where I'm confident about the message that I'm sending. It's all about being outdoors. It's about trying to find different forms of fitness. It doesn't always have to be about the gym. And trying to fit it into your life, it can work. Trust me, it can work.
I'm feeling you. I'm all the feels for that. And Nikki's amazing. And she's been on the podcast and gave some great advice.
What a fab person.
She's great. And I think it's really important to have people that can push you and strip things back and give you a level of clarity as well.
Totally.
You know, it sort of starts with clarity a lot of the time. People say, what do you want? How do you know what you want, and how do you know what sort of beliefs that you've picked up over the years from a parent or an ex-partner or whatever, about the life you think you should be living? What do you want?
They're big questions, really big questions that you probably will ask at multiple points in your life.
Yes.
Things are slowly emerging and moving over time, and you look back and you think, am I going to be at the same point? Am I asking the same questions? It's quite a lot to think of. But I would say asking that, what do I want in my life? What do you want in your life? You do have to ask these big questions. They are quite scary to think about sometimes. You don't want to, but it will help you start to plan out your goals for this month, this year, 5-year plan, 10-year plan.
Yeah, and it's hard because it's that balance between mindful living, which I, you know, I was running this morning, and I just looked up at the sky, and I just kept, you know, my downloads, my natural downloads from my mind were saying, look up, you know, enjoy this, enjoy this moment. But then there's nothing wrong with having a vision for the future and thinking, well, this is what I see, like for me, a sea view. And but that's not saying I can't enjoy a sea view now and I can't go. But then it's not just that. I like to wild swim. So I want to be swimming. So if you're an Edinburgh listener, you know, Crown and Portobello are nice, but they're not as clear as, say, North Berwick. And I've got friends in North Berwick. And one of them, shout out to Colo, who is mentioned in my book, one of my great friends, and he'd wrote a song for me, and I shouted out about him in my book, but he lives there, and he sends me videos of him with his coffee on the beach, and he's like, Jojo, and we went, he came to see me at Fringe by the Sea, and he said, do you want to jump in after off the pier? And I was like, Colo, my talk is called Jump In, that's the title. I was like, yeah. So we jumped in off the pier after my talk, and I've never been so sweaty in my life, right? The Spiegel tent was so hot. But anyway, we jumped in
And he was like, this is absolutely Baltic. But I was like, no, you build it up. You build the wild swimming up. But it was it was cleaner. So, you know, it's kind of know what's important to you. You know, I do you want to be in murky water? Now, this could be a metaphor for other things that we're going to talk about.
Totally.
But it's funny where you can come to things. Whereas a year ago, I'd never thought about living somewhere like North Berwick. But now it's on my mind. Whereas I've got hubs and kids and all that to think about. But it's not doesn't mean never, but maybe.
100%. I love that part of Scotland. It's just, for me, I spend a lot of time out there. So when you're talking about North Berwick, I'm like, yes, I feel you. It's just, you're right, it's just so calm and clear, and the beaches out there are amazing. I actually take my son surfing out there in the summer. We go there quite a lot. It's just, you're right, just taking yourself out of that busy hub, which is Edinburgh, and it's amazing. And just taking yourself out for the day, the weekend, can just give you so much clarity.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much my form of escapism, is to head out there.
Right.
Plus, it's like a microclimate. It's always sunny out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a storm, but it was sunny first. The last time, not the last time, I've been since to swim, because I just loved it so much. But what other beaches are nice out there? Like, I've heard Gillings.
Gillings amazing.
For swimming, yeah.
Yes. You've got Bellhaven's popular for surfing. You've got Peace Bay, Coldingham's a bit further south. But they're all really beautiful. Bellhaven's amazing, especially for the kids, because it's quite a soft bay.
Okay.
So it's just great for hanging out, and it's not that busy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not that busy.
And the water's just as nice as the others.
The water's lovely, and you get a view of Bass Rock, and it's
because is that closer? Do you go past, what's that place called, Driftwood, or that amazing cafe? Or is it a restaurant or a cafe?
I love that cafe. Yeah, it's a cafe. I love that cafe.
Still to go.
Big shout out to Drift, because I just think it's such an amazing place.
Oh.
They have such an incredible view of Bass Rock and the coast, and you're pretty much on a cliff, but they've got two shipping containers, they've smashed them together and they've just cut a big hole out, and it's just really pretty, really decent coffee, and a lovely variation of the cakes and whatnot, but it's always heaving.
Oh, that's the problem.
always heaving.
It's the view, isn't it?
The view is amazing. There's actually a walk that my partner and I took just on the left-hand side of Drift Cafe, there's like a long private beach, and it's just...
Oh, really? So you can go walking or running there?
Yeah. Oh, yes. There's an amazing trail that I've done out there from pretty much where Drift Cafe is out to Tantallon Castle.
Oh.
And there's a great... It's just that whole area is amazing for running. It's really, really good for running. If you're into trail running as well, you can kind of weave in. There's John Muir Way that's out there. It's perfect for doing out some running out there. Oh, I highly recommend it. If you want a day out, just get yourself out to that side of Edinburgh.
Maybe we should do like a community thing where we put it out and we all go and we do like a run and then
that.
We could do a wild swim.
I'm so up for that.
Yeah, let's arrange.
So up for that.
So arrange. You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah.
I think something like that is really good because it gets people sort of more aware of being outside and the benefits, and is that always been dear to your heart? Like, can you think, where did this passion to be outside come from?
I remember being, I've always been really outdoorsy as a child anyway. Running and cross country was a thing that I did at school, so it's probably been bubbling for a while. But I remember being 6 years old and being in school and looking at a book of the Amazon rainforest, and it clicked, and I was like, I'm going to go there one day.
Oh,
and I did end up living there for a while. And it was just a sense of accomplishment for all that time. You know, it's that kind of pipe dream when you're a kid.
Oh, wow.
To then actually accomplishing it.
And how old were you when you went out?
I first went out to South America when I was 20. And I was in Peru, first of all, so it wasn't the jungle. But we did do a weekend trip out there to a place called Iquitos, which was near Iquitos. And then I was like, right, I really want to be here. And I just met the right people, it was the right time, and someone invited me out to a project, and it ended up happening. So that's where like the real passion came from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward, I'm back in Scotland. Mm-hmm. I can't really go anywhere. So I started to think, well, you know, I did a lot of trips when I was a kid going up north. It was the thing. If you're born in the late 80s, mm-hmm. like, you would never really do that much kind of exotic traveling.
Yeah.
I was always heading up north to a caravan or sort of lodge or something. So I may as well just start doing that. It's really quite a chic thing to do now. You've got these amazing bothies, all this really cool stuff out there. So I thought, well, I may as well just start exploring a bit more of Scotland. Mm-hmm. So you'll probably, if you like, scroll down your feed, is a big chunk of just lots of exploring.
Stunning pictures.
Just, this country offers so much.
It really does.
So much.
And we need to enjoy it more.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, I'm all up for like budget trips away and stuff, but mm-hmm. I mean, our country has so much to offer, and especially if you're into the outdoors, there's mm-hmm. so much you can do. That doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, it's free, it's nature.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So lots of hikes and walking stuff. And basically, at this stage now where my son was probably about 3 or 4 and we started doing proper hiking. Mm-hmm. So he's done the Cobbler. If anyone knows the Cobbler, it's Ben Arthur. He's done that, and he was with experienced hikers, because it was a couple of years ago and it was proper snow. And there was other groups out in that day that were doing like maybe some mountaineering exped that day, but we were out doing our own thing, and he was getting high fives from everyone because he's such a little person.
How old when he did this?
4.5.
Wow.
So yeah,
my Charlie would be like, no, I can't even get him to walk up the hill to school in the morning.
But yeah, he's just that kid. But I think it's because I've always exposed him to that. So mm-hmm. he's been on a speedboat when I've been wakeboarding. He's been out surfing. He does mountain biking. You may have seen a video that I posted the other day of us out Glen Tress for his 7th birthday. We just did a day of mountain biking.
I
so
love it.
All of that kind of exposure to the outdoors. I don't want him indoors. I want him out. Mm-hmm. And the only way I could do that was to make sure that I looked after my body and I was physically able to take him there.
So important. So
that was a massive motivator for me, was to make sure if I'm all right, then he's all right.
Yeah.
I'm the only one he can really rely on.
Yeah.
So that's a big motivator for me. Gosh. So fitness for me never really was about just going out and doing a straight hardcore workout. It's about all different types of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And being outdoors and exploring new things is really great for your brain, just to get there out, get some vitamin D.
Oh, that's amazing.
See new
it?
Places.
Yeah, it's that's living, isn't it?
It is, it's living, 100%.
It's looking up, you know, it's looking up from the screens and the pressures and the critical thoughts in our head that sort of get our shoulders dropping. It's uplifting.
It's sensory as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're one of these people that possibly you are, someone that works in an office and everything's very monotone, it's not very bright and colourful, mm-hmm. there's probably the same type of smells and air, and you're probably in the same type of lighting as well. We're getting close to winter, so everyone's expecting that kind of dreary, dark days coming on. But you're kind of in the same environment all day, every day, but kind of becomes a bit monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you just think about, well, actually I might just take half an hour out of my day mm-hmm. to go and do something outdoorsy, maybe in Edinburgh, and we're lucky in Edinburgh that we have so much that we can use as our playground,
yeah.
or just drive half an hour and you're out and you're doing something a bit more sensory, a bit more exploring, a bit more great for your brain. And it's mm-hmm. not, you know, take the kids. It's okay to take the kids.
Yeah.
Go for like a hike or a walk or like wild swimming, if you think.
I'm getting them into it slowly. And like we went a long walk the other day, and it was windy though. We were down by the shore, but they did sort of 5K. Charlie had his scooter. He's very, very active. But I don't know if something's happened where certain places he'd be like, no, put me on your shoulders. And maybe that's... I don't want to blame, sorry Hubs, but maybe you've put him on the shoulders too much and he's got too used to it. Because I'll be like, no, we're walking. I don't know. It's just getting that if you allow something, then it's hard with certain ages, isn't it?
Totally.
So it's
totally
trying to get them, but it's leading by example as well. So they see you, you know, out running, or they see you do stuff. It's almost like another incentive.
Yeah.
Even when it's so tempting to be busy. And you said something earlier about, you know, we all can find a time. And I agree, you know, we have a lot of hours in the day. And it's just having that reminder of why you need to find a time. It's not putting shame in the equation, saying, oh, you're just lazy, or...
No, it's not about that. No way.
And it's hard, because then that can make you think, well, I'm not going. but it's for your mental health, it's for your physical health, it's for survival, really. We need to get away from those screens that are so tempting. We need to get out. So I think that's quite powerful for your message and the work that you do.
100%. I think pretty much the couple of things that I hear from, I have a kind of intro questionnaire that I have, but obviously about how your physical health is, but really what your perspective on fitness is. So my questions are, you know, how much of your time are you dedicating to fitness? Is it a priority? And so they can kind of answer that. And pretty much the most popular thing that comes back is that I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. So I come out with a calendar, mm-hmm. and I say, right, let's find the time. And they're like, whoa. And I'm saying it's about being slightly accountable, but then, you know, having it written down, physically writing it down, I will plan on doing something that you're interested in. If you're into horse riding or into bowling, whatever your thing is, write it down, take mm-hmm. that time out for you, and then start scheduling where you can fit in time. Now, I'm predominantly a single mum, Monday to Friday. I work full time, I have my business on the side, I have a house to run. I find time. I find 3 times a week that I find time for my fitness. I honestly, I promise you, if you write it down and you have a schedule, you can feel like you can fit that time in.
How do you find the time personally?
So I love working out in the morning. Mm. I get the post workout endorphins all day, so I'm properly, my energy is great and I'm feeling amazing. So I do it in the morning. That's not it for everyone. My partner, he loves to work out at 8-9 o'clock, so it's different for everyone. But I love to do it first thing in the morning, and I get up earlier than my son will get up in the morning. One, it's practical for me, but two, I just love the fact that it's done, out of the way, I can focus on other things, and I just feel great and I feel amazing. And so I do that at least 3 times a week. I used to run to and from work, but I've torn my Achilles heel.
Oh no.
So I'm still healing, which is a bummer. Oh. But finding ways around that, not that long ago, my son and I were out and playing in the park, and a local neighbour had just chucked out an exercise bike, and I was like, right, we're taking that.
Great.
So we've got that in the garage now. And using that, which is a great alternative for the running injury. Finding ways out for myself, I really generally do. There are some days where I feel like I really don't want to do it. I'm sure you feel the same.
Oh yeah, you still get that. There's other things that you want to prioritize.
Yeah, of course. And you'll have like super busy weeks, weeks where like you're just, your brain's like processing a million things. Uh-huh. And there's weeks where you feel like it's just really good flow, but I just do it. And then afterwards, I'm like, yes, I'm so glad I did that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure loads of people will tell you that. But once you've done it, you do. You feel great about yourself. I'm sure like today when you were doing your run, but you were just like, yes, I've got that out of the way. I feel really good.
Yeah.
Had some vitamin D, being outside.
It was amazing. But I did have a, right, I really don't have time for this sort of feeling. And then I wasn't even really enjoying the first 5 minutes because I was just caught up in all that I needed to do.
Yeah.
And then about 15 minutes in, maybe 20, I got that, yep, this is it. This is right to the, you know, so sometimes it takes a bit because your head can be so full.
Yeah.
And then you go, no, no, this was the right thing to do. And I got back and I was thinking, oh, I'd love to go a wild swim.
yes.
But I don't live by the beach. So I jumped in the shower and I did a Wim Hof breathing with the cold water, just a quickie. Because
ice cold water?
So I had a hot shower first, washed all my hair.
Yeah.
Then I did ice cold, and then I finished off with a warmer. I don't know if that's
that is amazing. Yeah, you can do hot cold, I'm sure you can.
I think, are you best to end with hot to warm your body up from the shock?
I remember doing that in a spa in Italy, and they had like a succession of showers that went hot cold, and you step in these like stone. I think you've done something
I love all that stuff.
I'm sure it ended in hot because you could hear me screaming when it was cold. I was like, no. But yeah, it's really good for your skin as well, having cold showers.
Oh, so invigorating. I love. Oh, why is it good for your skin having cold showers?
I honestly couldn't tell you the scientific reasons, but I remember reading up on it saying it's really good for your skin, and I can vouch that because I had freezing cold showers in South America and my skin was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it might have been that or the avocados, but I'm not sure. But yeah, it's very good for your skin. We'll have to read up on that and find out why.
Yeah, I just love it. I just feel like, and sometimes it is hard, but you know, once you push through and you dive in that lake or in that ocean or you, under the shower, this is me saying you can fit it in. It's almost like I'm a wild swimming ambassador now. But it is like you can still get that cold water immersion. You know, I've gone in the paddling pool when I've got home, because it's just something about nature and then having that for me. I just love it.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of people that I follow on Instagram and very similar minded people that are really into just wild swimming or just getting in the lake. And there's a lady of mine who we actually have mutual friends. And recently I saw a shot of her out with her son, just the two of them. They had made a fire and they were out not far from here, out swimming in the river. And I'm just like, I love that. That's an amazing tale. It's just like, and she's a beautician by trade.
No way.
So it's kind of an unexpected connection between the two, but anyone can do it.
Oh.
You have to be a sort of stereotypically outdoorsy person to do outdoorsy stuff.
Stereotypes can really hold us back because we put ourselves in boxes. So that for a perfect example, beautician. So I work, I do all this sort of stuff. So no, I'm not going to go outside and I'm going to sit in and read magazines and all these silly boxes we put people in, right?
Right, 100%.
And it's absolute nonsense. Like, we are all humans. That is one label we are allowed to use. We are humans. And humans need to be outside as well as inside, you know, it's balance. But we need to move. We need to be kind to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I say we need to be in the water, but that's my feeling.
The water is everything.
I'm in water, baby. We need to look at the trees. So what else do we need to do?
It's true. I mean, talking about self-care, it's become a very kind of chic thing to talk about now. What does it really mean? Mm-hmm. Are you looking at, you know, I guess some people would say, oh, putting a face mask on and that's self. Fair enough, it can be, but it can be literally going for a walk in the forest. It's just as much about self-care and winding down and taking time out to chill and disconnect as much as it would be having 20 minutes in the bath.
I know. It's what brings you to that place of joy where you feel at peace.
Totally. You know, that's what like, it is, really.
Where you feel calm. So would you say your thing, your joy, your peace is predominantly exercise outside or?
Yeah. If not doing like a hardcore workout, then definitely getting out and just. And do you know, it's kind of just morphed into that really the last couple of years. So my life has been so hectic. I'm sure loads of people can relate. You've just got so many plates to juggle. Mm-hmm. I just love going out where there's no crowds.
Yeah.
And just really love just being out, chilling, letting my boy explore things and just having like one-to-one where he's not getting distracted and that just gives me so much joy.
Yeah, there's so many distractions. It's almost like we've become really good at distracting ourselves from getting to know ourselves and knowing what we need and knowing what's important. And if we were to strip it back and say, right, the world's going to end next week, sustainability, you know, it's terrifying. We speak about the news next because I know we both kind of try and detox from it, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
but, you know, having that time to just think, right, what, bring it back to joy, bring it back to what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know, stop distracting ourselves with the nonsense. Sort of filtering through the noise, you know, and knowing what we hone into and what we step back from.
Yeah, I mean, when you were a kid, were you out doing like multi-million things at the same time? No, you were out just chilling, enjoying time passing. Mm-hmm. And as adults, that becomes a real struggle. Of course, we have responsibilities. But if you home it back to what it was like being a kid, where you were truly just chilling out, happy and peaceful.
Free.
Yeah, you were free, exactly. Yeah. So that can be whatever form you want that to be. Just go out and do it. You'll feel so much better for it.
Yeah, it's like we put all this guilt on. And no, but I don't have time. I have to do this and I have to do that. And your job lists are never going to go away.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something. And I guess part of that is being kind to yourself because we worry about being judged perhaps. Well, why? What are people going to think about the fact that I did that instead of you know, or it's hard, isn't it?
So much pressure on us now more than ever. That's how I feel anyway.
We need to drop it.
So much pressure. Yeah. So you've probably noticed I've taken a step back from social media recently because I was really just wanting to focus on the business. My client base is growing so much and it's more about them than it is about me. And so I've taken a step back for that. And that was a really good decision because I knew, like you were saying, where's the priority? Mm-hmm. It's not all about nice, pretty photographs and stuff like that. It's about just getting the foundation right and focusing on my boy a bit more. He's had a bit of a tricky time recently. I'm sure you saw some posts and they just wanted to get him immersed in some more fun things. So he's doing parkour at the moment and he's going to do parkour in another location and just do more mountain biking and things like that. Yeah.
So important.
So important.
Yeah, it's hard. Good for you though for taking a step back.
Yeah, it can be quite a difficult thing because I'm sure you're the same. It's like being submerged in this world sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I've made some amazing connections, great friends out of this. But at the same time, there has to be a balance. Something's got to give. Mm-hmm. It can't be absolutely everything. That can vary in the day. So depending on what you're going through in the day, don't be so hard on yourself. If you've got a million things to do, just let something slide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a list? Do you do a to-do list or do you just...
Sometimes. Yeah. Some weeks. Would you recommend? What's your thoughts on it?
I'm fiercely organized because I have to be. Uh-huh. So in terms of lists, I only, like, if I don't do it there and then I'll forget. Yeah. So I'm one of those people that I'm like, can you wait 5 minutes? I need to just get this done. If I have some sort of, I don't know, house admin or whatever, I probably will put that on a list. But the only ways I can really keep organized is I look after my sleep. Mm-hmm. I eat really healthy as I can be. But the sleep is the thing that I've really homed in on the last year. Mm-hmm. And I know if I've slept less than 8 hours, man, do I feel bad. I just can't function.
It's funny, isn't it? We need our sleep and it impacts everything.
Everything.
How we are, how we handle feedback.
Yeah, just processing information. If I don't have sleep, then I'm not an organized computer up here. I just can't. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sleep is the thing. And you know, I'm the uncool mum on the street. My son gets pulled in first, but then because I prioritize his sleep, I've looked at, for his age, how many hours he needs. Mm-hmm. And he's compliant. He'll go to bed at the time he's supposed to.
So how long, because my 7-year-old has FOMO and she hates sleeping. How long are they meant to sleep, do you reckon?
I looked at the NHS website. I think he has to go to bed around about 8 o'clock. Uh-huh. And he's 7. And he'll get up about 7 in the morning-ish.
Right. So that's probably... Bonnie's gone about 9, 8:30, and she'll get up sometimes at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's tricky. And do you notice a difference in her behaviour sometimes?
Sometimes she can be quite moody. Not moody, like, she'll get angry.
Okay.
But I think it's just because she's such a determined, and I was this way too. So I'm trying to say to her, Bonnie, like, please. But then sometimes she will get a good night's sleep, but she likes to meditate with me before bed.
Love that.
Which I do like to do, but then sometimes it's hard because I'm like, this could be ideal writing time. You know, we've had our time now, 9 o'clock, really. I don't need to be a mum at this time. You know, you should be asleep. This is my time now to try and. Yeah. I mean, it's easier when they're in school, but still, there's never enough hours in the day if you want to exercise and you want to make progress. And someone was saying the other day, so how's your second book? And I was like, it's nearly there. I just would really like to go to a hotel for 2 days on my own with no interruptions. And he was like, Joe, just get it done.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a successful author friend, Gavin Oates, who was on the podcast. I love him to bits.
He likes cold showers as well.
Oh, does he? Oh, I need to ask. Did he say that on his thing?
Maybe I'm thinking the wrong person.
Gavin Oates. There's a few Gavins. There's Gavin Bell as well. It might well be him. I'll need to check. But he was lovely. But he was like, Joe, just get it done. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, he's right. Just get it done. Get it done. So the past sort of few days, I've been like, I've heard his words, just get it done.
Yeah.
So it's like, when there's time, just go for it.
That's it. It's surrounding yourself with the right people that do give you that support. And if it is in that form of just get it done, and you need that, then that's the perfect thing that you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like I am for so many people that I'm working for, is I'm that little voice on the end of WhatsApp or through my app saying, just get it done.
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same. And it can, some, you know, some people like tough love. Some people are slightly, like, a bit softer. There is definitely a client of mine who really likes me just being like, right, you're going to be doing this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And she loves that, and that's what she wants, because she's so busy. Mm-hmm. She's like, I just need you to tell me what to do.
Tell me, yeah.
Just tell me. And that's it. You need that voice. And that's so interesting you brought up, like, having to go take a couple of days. I saw recently... Michelle from Embrace Social Media put up something about, I just need to go away for a couple of days,
yeah,
and just get all my work done. And there was like a line of comments from other working mums going, I need to do the same, I need to do the same.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a thing that people are like now thinking about going away to get that done, because it kind of falls to the side when you've got other things like being mum. Like you've got all those hours where you're, kids are needing your attention, so it's so hard,
and it's just it's getting that balance. But and it's focusing on like, what is my priority? Because for me, it was like, this book is my priority now, just to get it done. I'm so close, I'm so excited about it. I'm like, I need to focus. Mm-hmm. But then it could be like, oh, it'd be so easy though, just to take on that project and do this and do that. So it's learning to say no to things as well.
Completely agree. I've been doing a lot of that recently, just saying no, but not feeling guilty about it, because I'm such a natural yes person.
Yeah, so many of us are though, you know.
It's quite hard to be like, no. But then I say, maybe no, not just now, but can we like rain check in like a month? Like, I have generally a meeting scheduled for like 4 weeks' time, because that's where I feel like I will be at my best, but I'm just preparing for that. And there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
Just finding the right balance. But in terms of being organized about it, write it down. If it's on your phone, your iPad, a diary, calendar, whatever you have, having it there where you can physically see it will just help you process all the things that you have to do. So in my lounge, I'll take a photo and send it to you later, I have a calendar of my like to-do stuff, taking out the bins, like when do I need to take out the green bin and the grey one, like, because I'll forget. Then I have my fitness regime on the other side, so it's like writing that down. I know I'm going to do arms and abs on a Wednesday, and I'm going to commit to that, and in that session I will be fully submerged in that session.
So but, do you go to the gym for those type of sessions, or what do you do?
No, I stay at home. I have my own garage that's converted into a gym.
Great.
Which is awesome. And I actually bring some clients out there if it does, if the weather is absolutely mental and it's just too much, I say alternative is my garage.
I love it.
And they go, okay, cool, let's go. So for example, tonight I'll be training two people in my garage.
Wow.
Which is just, it's a great kind of backup. Otherwise, it will be Arthursea, the Meadows, Blackford Hill, like just anywhere, Portobello Beach, which is an amazing session, and there was no wind, and the sun was just insanely beautiful. And all of my clients, there was four of them that day, were like, this is amazing. They felt so excited that they were there, and just... we went to a cafe nearby afterwards, and it was just the perfect Sunday for them.
Aww.
I mean, obviously you're going to get days where like the weather is insane, and I have done some crazy sessions in the rain, but that's part of the sort of experience, is that you're going to go out thinking there's nowhere on earth I'd be able to do that. Then you've done a fitness session that's quite intense. Not only that, but you're doing it in the rain. It just gives you so much confidence.
It does, that you can do that. I remember running through the hail when I was training for a running event, and just thinking, I had tiny shorts on and it was ice drops. It was April or something. But when you get home and you're like, I did it.
Yeah.
Like a drowned rat. But
yeah.
Like, I did it. That's strength right there.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I just think there's so much you can get from being outdoors, and there's ways around incorporating some form of fitness if you're really busy. Now, I put a post up a couple of days ago, 5 top tips of finding a way for fitness, and they all happen to be free. So head onto my page and have a look at the tips that I've got up there. But, you know, it might not suit everyone. If there is a crux in the plan, message me and we'll find a way.
Yeah, okay? I love that.
Because everyone's different. There's no way I can set up a plan for everyone. Yeah. But the one thing that has worked is the calendar. Write it down.
Yeah.
You don't have to adhere to it. it's not like set in stone. Things can happen, emergencies, life. Uh-huh. But writing it down makes you feel like you're a little bit more accountable.
It does help, doesn't it?
And it then physically shows you the time that you have.
Yeah, and it's that, it's going from, you know, we have these labels like I'm the chaotic one, it's just the way I am. Well, actually, no, you don't have to be. You don't have to carry that anymore. You can sit on a Sunday and go, right, when am I going to fit in my working out this week? Even if it's like a 15-minute power run.
Totally.
When am I going to, like, what am I going to eat these days? If I'm home, like, how can I eat food that's going to really fuel me and make me feel good? Can I batch cook today? Can I do that? I mean, do you have, because would you agree it's kind of like diets or what's it, lose weight in the kitchen, get fit in the gym?
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, I heard, I listened to one of your podcasts with Michael.
Yeah.
Talking about food, and I couldn't agree more with everything you're talking about. It's basically, I feel like the workout, the hardcore fitness, the running, whatever it is, that's 25% of the job. The rest of it is try not to be stressed out, really sleep. It's so important. Dr. Matthew Walker is someone that I really am interested in all the research that he's done. And if you, he even put at the start of his book, if you fall asleep to the reading this, is exactly what I wanted.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
Dr. Matthew Walker, you can find his podcasts on TEDx and stuff like that. He's an amazing person to listen to about sleep and how important it is.
Good.
And food. Food and water. Uh-huh. Like, it's just really, they're key. I call them like the five pillars of health.
Okay.
So it's stretching every day if you can.
Right,
5 minutes.
I need to do more of that.
Yeah, do you know, I'm the same. I'm like that typical runner that's like, it's terrible. But I've really tried to stretch. So stretching, staying hydrated, sleeping, eating whole food, and staying active. Those are the things that I talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the food section, I'm sure everyone knows about it. It's not really your five a day now, it's probably more seven.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the more colour you have on your plate,
the
more benefits you're going to get from it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel physically happy looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And just being really varied and experiment. Mm-hmm. Personally, how I deal with it is I food prep, so it's batch cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it down to a T where I've got four different things going on at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Sounds mental.
Yeah, but no,
but it works. And it means that Monday to Friday, when I have to get up early and grab my food, I literally go to the fridge, grab everything I need, and I'm not stressed. And when I come home, I grab and preheat again, and then that's it. There's no going to the supermarket five times in the week. There's none of that. I just buy what I need. There's no food wastage.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That is really powerful. Do you rotate the meals, or do you have a few staple things you make?
I do, yes. So there's a couple of things that I'll make, and I'll put half of them in the freezer. Then when I make the next batch, then I can mix and match.
Ah, I love it. Yeah.
So I can do typical curries, things like that. I probably eat a lot of quinoa. I didn't realise how much I ate until my partner pointed it out. And I was like, okay, maybe eat a lot of quinoa. But a lot of different varied grains as well. It's kind of like one pot stuff. It's good enough for me. And then I mix it with either just fresh veg or roasted veg or salad, and it's pretty simple actually. But
quinoa, I've tried before. Is there a knack to cooking it?
Yeah, so you have to have it in cold water first.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like rice, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I always do the tricolour quinoa. You can get it from Aldi. It's like a pound or something, and you get a lot out of it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I put it in my porridge. Uh-huh. I've got a recipe as well. For quinoa chocolate porridge with pistachios.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
You mix the porridge with the oats with the quinoa.
Yeah, you can do. And I also would put a bit of grated courgette in it, which sounds a bit mental.
Oh no, I'm not for all that.
But it's like, it's an American thing, it's oats.
Do you put oats with your quinoa?
Yeah, I do. I mix it up a bit. So I pre-cook the quinoa though.
Uh-huh.
So when you're heating up your porridge oats, you just fling them in at the end of the minute and warm them up.
So would you cook a big batch of quinoa and have it in a tub?
Yeah.
Ready cooked?
Yeah.
That you can just, because I've been getting the bags of rice, but the microwavable ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Although they do come in plastic packaging, and I'm thinking about everything now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're really handy because you could get like a wholemeal rice and then you can do it in the microwave, and then I can mix it. Like, so that takes a minute for my lunch. Like, I've not had time to make soup, and I mix it in a bowl with like avocado, like, well, any veg, you know, chop it all up, Try not to add cheese. And honestly, see the difference though. See, I've been doing it for about a month now. All my clothes are looser already. And I was like, if I could keep this up, because it feels good, it's tasty, it's easy, it's quick.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, yeah, I wonder if I could do that with quinoa as well then. So you could cook all the quinoa and then keep it in a bowl and then
in the fridge.
Do that.
And it lasts a week, definitely. Does it? It does last a long time, especially if you do a tricolour one. It seems just kind of like brown rice, it will last a bit longer. And yeah, I'll have that pretty much most of the time, with just on the side. There's a really great pre-made, and trust me, I've read all the ingredients on the side, and Aldi, there's a red pepper dip that they have with cashew nuts inside, which is really nice. And I'll just plug that on the side
just to give it something. You need a little something sometimes, you know.
Yeah, just because it is like rice, it's very nutty. It's a South American grain, so I used to have it a lot in South America. It's from predominantly the Andean mountain area. And it's just come over here. It's very cool to eat quinoa now, but I did get a lot of stick for it because it's quinoa.
Why is it? It's just some as comedian or something is joked about.
Yeah, probably. And I'm like, oh, quinoa. But I love it. It's actually great for you. There's so many benefits to it. And so yeah, I will put it in my porridge, and people think I'm mental, but it works, and I feel great having all of that in there. And I pretty much have porridge religiously every day, with oat milk. My son has it with cow's milk and oat milk, and I'll just decorate with whatever I feel like that day.
Like seeds, so, figs. Yeah,
yes, like seeds, some nice figs. Spice, I was gonna... apples. Oh, a nice one.
Do you keep that separate and have a
batch? Yes, and that's really good for your intestines. Having stewed apples, it's just really, if you've got something called like a leaky gut or something. Mm-hmm. Having that can really line your stomach. So stewed apples, but I put a bit of spice in there just to jazz it up.
So you don't put sugar in it then?
Oh no, there's like, I would say I don't have any refined sugar in my house, but I do have coconut sugar, maple and honey.
Okay.
That's what we have in the house.
So in the apples, would you put like cinnamon? What would you?
Yeah, cinnamon, nutmeg is what I put in. And that's honestly, that's all it needs, because when you stew apples, they're so sweet anyway.
Right. So you've got
so sweet. So it's kind of like an apple jam that you put on top of your porridge. Oh, it's great.
Oh, so you would just stew them with no oil or no butter or
doesn't
no
need
sugar.
Any of that. No, really low heat.
At
a push, you could put a bit of coconut oil in, but it doesn't need anything. And I put the skins in as well. And then after that, I then blitz it in the blender. That's it.
So do you just cook it on a pan in the hob?
Yeah.
That sounds lovely.
Non-stick pan probably would be better.
So you could do that with plums. You could, although you've got the stones with the plums, it can be a bit of a faff. You can do it with rhubarb.
Yeah, I can imagine you could do with all of that and just have that on. What I do is for my everyday, I have coconut yogurt. It's by Coco. It's the only milk alternative yogurt that has no sugar inside of it.
Oh really?
Because Alpro, its second ingredient is sugar, and I just don't agree with putting loads of sugar in something that is deemed supposed to be a health product.
Where do you get by Coco then?
Coco, you can get from Morrison, Sainsbury's. It's KOKO. I absolutely love them, and it's so creamy and so sweet. I can't believe how sweet they can make this.
Really?
And it's just natural product, and it's cheap compared to other companies that are out there doing milk alternatives.
Tesco do it.
I'm sure they would.
Typical Tesco.
Yeah, I can imagine they would. So what I do is I get my berries and I put them on the pan, mixed berries, and I put a tiny bit of maple or honey inside and let that sort of stew in itself. Mm-hmm. When it starts to harden, it becomes kind of like a jam, and I put chai seeds in. That's the first layer, and then I top it with cocoa yogurt, and that's my sweet thing that I could grab whenever I feel like I'm having a bit of I need something.
I love that.
I'll just grab that.
Oh, that sounds nice.
One pot of cocoa will last me 5 tubs, so that's 5 lunches.
So you have that as a
kind of like post lunch thing,
right?
Okay. Or in the evening, I'll have maybe one of those little tubs that I make. But I have them, so then one, I know what I'm putting in, and I know how long it's going to last. Mm-hmm. And so there's on a Saturday, my fridge is really sad. It's very, very empty because I don't have anything there that I don't use. Mm-hmm. Everything inside there is what I have. So in terms of organisation, that is a big part of it.
I love it.
Big part. But
so
it
do
takes
you eat out on the weekend at all to mix
we
it up?
We hardly eat out. If we do, it'll probably be a sort of special thing, only because growing up being a lifelong veggie, mm-hmm. if there was an option, it wouldn't even be an option. It would be one thing.
Yeah, so it put you off.
And it was just like, well, yeah, it's not really that exciting. I did eat somewhere recently, Hemingway's, which was brilliant. If you're veggie, there is at least 6 options on there for you to choose from. That's what I call a menu if you're vegetarian.
Yeah,
so it's really exciting now. Yeah, so I probably would go somewhere back like there, or maybe El Cartel.
Uh-huh.
Wagamama, yeah. Maybe someone that has lots of options for me personally.
Uh-huh.
For my partner, he'll eat anything. And same with my son, he'll actually pretty much eat anything, probably challenging on veg now. But yeah, personally, we just don't really eat out because we'll probably save our money to go on a trip,
yeah,
or go somewhere.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. So in terms of organizing, food is a big part of it. It's a really big part of it. How you can fit that into your life is a big question. Mm-hmm. Everyone's life is different. And there's no, and I hardly talk about food actually, because I don't want to put my routine onto someone else, because it might not work for them. I get frustrated about that. But I certainly include that as an everyday commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's everyday commitment, and it took a long journey. So I've ended up going properly sugar free when I found a book called Supercharged, and it was pretty much like a 4-month process where you slowly wean yourself off certain foods. To I'd say it's kind of like a detox. For me, it wasn't sustainable. However, my brain's never been so clear.
Wow.
My skin was fantastic. I felt so much energy. And it was from when I woke up to the end of the day. There was no peaks and troughs.
Wow.
But it took a lot of commitment, a lot of preparation. And I think it took 6 months out of it, and I did that. But I couldn't sustain it. But I have taken a huge chunk of that and kept going with it.
Wow.
So whole sugar free is for me impossible.
Yeah.
But I have done other alternatives, and it's worked, definitely. And I feel like I don't have a sweet tooth anymore. I'm not having massive cravings. I'm not having headaches anymore. Same with being caffeine free. Mm-hmm. Stopped drinking caffeine about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was just drinking too much when my son was a little boy, a baby, and I was just like hooked on it. And
just to get you through, to give you that energy.
Yeah, totally. But now it's just, I feel like my energy is a good level, but it's like I'm not feeling totally zonked by the end of the day. And a huge part of that's staying hydrated and doing these little tweaks here and there. But that's just, that works for me.
Why do we get sugar cravings?
Oh gosh, because you need the energy. We're an energy system. We have lots of different energies. You need energy for your brain, for emotional side of things, physically to move your body. And sometimes you need that boost. To give yourself the right fuel is the question you should be asking.
Yeah.
What can I do to fuel myself that will make me, give me the best energy out of that?
So, rather than the association of a chocolate bar that is a comfort.
Totally. Yeah. So I've got a tip for that. I have like a massive craving, I love sugar in general. I've just got a sweet tooth. So I have alternative bakes to your chocolate bar. So I make like a peanut butter Snickers style caramel. I should have brought you some. I've looked that into my head. Which is an absolute winner for everyone. It's made out of dates. Peanut butter and coconut oil and raw cacao, and it tastes just like a Snickers bar.
No way.
And I have it in the freezer in tiny little chunks. If I'm really wanting something with a decaf espresso or something, I'll just take it out. It will thaw in 5 minutes, and I've got something.
And that's that kind of chewy, yummy, chocolate, nutty kind of
thing. Then I don't feel guilty that I'm eating it. It's dates.
It's good for you, yeah.
Yeah.
Really
so there are like little kind of tricks, or just smother some sort of hazelnut spread with like raw cacao mixed in together on a rice cake. Whoa, that's amazing.
Nice.
Just all these little things. You can literally go into Google and YouTube and look for alternative bakes and stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't have to grab that chocolate bar.
I know. And it is just changing the habits that we pick up and challenging them and saying there are other things that we can do. We don't have to constantly, you know.
No, exactly. Everyone's different. So that's why I always say to my clients that come to me, what really gets your heart pumping? What do you absolutely love to do? Mm-hmm. Why are you not doing that anymore?
Yeah.
How's your life looking? Uh-huh. It's not really just coming to me just for a fitness session. It's more than that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at what can work for different people. It's really important. Then looking at that as your life as a whole, how can you fit your fitness session in?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of tips and things could be slightly changing about your diet, your hydration? It's the one thing I constantly talk about. I'm sure my clients are sick to death of me talking about water.
Having a big drink now.
Yes, go for it. And it's just all these aspects that I think are really, they all sort of start to... they're all connected and they all start to fall into place. Now, I had someone that came to me at the very beginning who was an office worker,
mm-hmm.
and she was quite like, I'm really intrigued by these outdoor workouts that you do. And she gave me a great testimonial talking about she cannot believe that she's not done this already,
mm-hmm.
and that she was so sucked into the world
mm-hmm.
of just going to work, coming back, and that was it. And it was just like really kind of boring and mundane. Mm-hmm. Now she's out in the elements. She's doing things with her body she never thought she'd be able to do at this stage. And I'm so proud of her that when she first came to me, she couldn't do 2 push-ups. Now she's doing decline push-ups, which are quite tricky where your feet are raised.
Wow, oh my goodness.
And she is like, her posture is better. She's yeah. feeling better. She's sleeping better. Because she's making the effort and she's paying for that,
mm-hmm.
she's then investing in the food and the sleep, and it's all coming together.
Yeah, it's so
and
important.
It's so important.
So do you do a mix of what's your typical workout session with someone outdoors?
So it depends on the person's ability, but it comes into a format of, there's 2 circuits. Within each circuit is a couple of exercises, no more than 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got high reps. So it's a mix of cardio and resistance training. So mm-hmm. we can be using free weights, resistance bands. We'll be using our environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see a bench, you'll be on that bench.
Yeah.
You'll be using that bench for box jumps, for decline push-ups, for shoulder taps, whatever we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm getting the resistance band around a tree and we're using that for doing whatever we can think of. That will last 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about breaking it down,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving you something like a really simple example, 40 mountain climbers.
Mm-hmm.
If I said to you, okay, today we're going to do 300 mountain climbers, you'd mm-hmm. be like, no thanks.
Yeah.
But then if I break it down to 4 circuits and in 1 circuit you've got 40, that's achievable.
Yeah.
And you go at your own pace,
mm-hmm.
and then once you've done that 7 minutes, you have a 30 second, 1 minute break, and then we're on to circuit 2.
Yeah, it's just bam, bam, bam. But there's something yeah. quite empowering about doing it outside.
Totally. It's about getting that vitamin D.
Yeah.
Research has shown that there's connections between being slightly overweight and the lack of vitamin D going yeah. on there. There's so many health benefits. It helps with mental health, being outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, like I touched on before, it's sensory experiences. We could become so desensitized mm-hmm. in our modern world. You could be sitting in a room and everyone's on their phone, not communicating, talking, and just everything becomes as if a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
When you're outdoors, you're really aware of your environment,
mm-hmm.
really aware of what's going on, the weather, how you're feeling, how you can push your body in an environment that you're made for. We're made to be outdoors.
Yeah.
So it's just reconnecting with that. And it's great seeing the kind of role and effects from people that come to me. And it's not always about being outdoors. Of course, you can be out, you know, at the gym, whatever works for you. But I just think being outdoors has so many benefits that we don't really think is a priority anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they should.
I know, it's funny. I feel as each year goes on, I just love being outside even more.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
What benefits do you think you get from being outdoors?
Just the fresh air, nature, the sort of spiritual yeah. sense that there's yeah. so much more than just us, looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
Mindfulness, we do a lot of that in mindfulness. Feeling connected, grounded.
Yeah.
Feeling like we are all one. We are all one. We're all connected. But it's very easy to just become focused on stuff that doesn't
yeah.
really matter
yeah.
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
look up, you know, the bigger picture.
Totally.
I just think in so many senses, it's a little bit of me and all of us. But we just need to find the way and the time.
Yeah,
I agree. And we can always find it, as you say. We can always find it. And I hear myself when I'm making excuses. I was going to get a tattoo, actually. I'm big on mantras. And if something, if I really believe something enough, and I don't regret any of my tattoos because they all really mean something to me. So I thought I'd just get a little mantra just to remind me on those days that I'm like, I have no time. And as long as I can be, you know, get back up again and go. Because as well, it can be a trigger. If I'm not exercising, if I've got a virus or something, my anger levels, my temper's not as, you know, we all have anger.
Yeah.
It's natural to feel anger. There's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes it can really be great for a force of change, and we can use our anger. But when it mixes with the ego, it can really clash. And I think for me, if you're not sleeping enough, if I'm not got the balance right, or if I'm not exercising, and a lot of people will say it really impacts how they deal with anger.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you look at your life as a whole, do you really prioritize yourself enough?
Mm.
And that's probably something that you've been questioning a lot in the last couple of years. Are you really, really looking after yourself? And you tend to find there's a million other things that come in first, and like you said, they're not really worth it. And you're at the bottom of the pile. Why do that to yourself? Start putting yourself first. Don't feel guilty about going out and doing exercise. You're a mom or a parent, or but
then you need it more when you're a mom.
You've got to need it more. It's so important.
I found a real passion when I was in the early days when I had my second, because you know, I had a 2-year-old and a newborn, and I was, he was feeding constantly. And I was, that's my sanity. Like, those runs were my headspace.
Yeah.
And then people say, oh, selfish mum going out running. How you expect the hubs or whoever to pick up the pieces? Yeah. Mm. Because if they don't, I'm going to crack.
Absolutely. And it's really, really important. And in society, it takes so little to be a crap mum. Mm. Why do we do that to us? It's just... And it takes, you know, and it takes so little to be an amazing dad, which is awesome. But the pressure that we put on mums.
Oh, I know.
Why?
It's like, insane. And it will, I mean, we're making good noise about it, you know. And my first book, chapter 3, is Shut It Perfect Mum. And it challenges. And the amount of people that wrote to me to say, crap, I'm perfect mama here. Or, you know, the others to say, I'm so glad that I'm not the only one feeling this way. Because you look at parents, and our mind is wired to judge. We all judge, but it takes practice to judge less. It's like a muscle that you have to use. And rather than judge, I like curious. Like, I'm curious about why you're feeling that way.
Yeah.
Rather than,
yeah,
oh, you're just... I'm curious why that is, in compassion. But that, I think for me, that mindfulness, empathy, compassion, skills we should be teaching our kids. You know,
totally.
The teaching in Denmark now, they're teaching kids empathy.
I saw your post about that. That's so amazing. It's so important, because it molds a perspective in children that's really important for the culture of our future society.
And leaders.
Yeah.
You know, we need more leaders with empathy. And we need more... leaders that are self-aware, and we need more leaders that are kind and less ego. And I've been there, you know. I talk about in my next book about times that I've led and the balance hasn't been right, and how I've got that balance back again. And it's so important to lead that way, because there was a song I was singing this morning about never having enough love. I was like, I need to stick that quote in. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that's just too little love. You know, songs
so
just pop into my mind, and I'm like, yep, I'm feeling you.
I'm
vibing over you. It's been so good. This hour has absolutely flown by, and I feel like it's really going to help a lot of people. So thank you for your honesty and all your great tips. And where's the best place for people to contact you?
Find me on Instagram, The Explore More Mum, or you can Google me, The Explore More Mum, and my website, The Explore More Mum. It's pretty simple. Just find me on there. I'm probably the most active on Instagram, and on my website, actually, there's a live chat. So if you want to just drop me a message on there, I will be able to message you back instantly.
Oh, amazing. It's amazing what we can do.
Yeah.
Unless you'll be charging on a mountain.
It's quite tricky. It's quite tricky. I say iPhones are terrible.
Oh, no.
Might change. Just something else. But yeah, I will endeavour to get back as quick as I can. And yeah, you'll find me on there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Tell me
about the song you want us
to. Oh, can I play this? Right, I'm going to, because I can't remember the name of it.
I'm excited. I always love, I think what I need to do is make a podcast playlist with all my favourites.
That would be awesome. Because this song has been in my head for days and it won't leave me. And it's just because it's got a really great bass and we've got a really good subwoofer in the house. You've probably heard it. Have you heard this song before?
I feel like I have.
Oh, yeah.
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 Sensitive machine myself. Oh, yeah. Who is this?
Medusa.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Good Boy. It's a great tune to run to.
Oh, yes. To get him down, down, down. Oh, yes.
Yeah. You're gonna Shazam it. I just like a tune that drops a beat. See, my camera's through, damn you. So let's start at the beginning. Here we go.
Piece of your love, a piece of your heart. Up to get him down, down, down. What an absolute queen. Ash, you're amazing. I had so much fun. We were raving. Oh, we were raving in the kitchen. And it was so good. Really inspired. So I would love to arrange a wild swim for those of you that are local. It's cold now. If you're a bit wary, then a wetsuit might be good because it is Baltic and you have to be careful. But I would love to, you know, get out there, get comfortable, feeling uncomfortable. So drop me a message. You can contact me at mummyjojoblog@gmail.com or PM me on any of my social channels at Jojo Fraser Mojo. If you would like to come along to an outdoor event with Ash and I, we would love to have you there. For some mojo injections and yeah, breaking those comfort zones and getting cold and invigorated and just buzzing on the natural pleasures of life. So drop me a message, guys. Thank you for tuning in. All my love. Mwah.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.